Tonight is a very, very special show because scientists came in to London. And I caught up with him on Wednesday. Stand by.
Introducing to the world the big showdown, a dub selection. With on my right, scientist, the dub chemist. And on the left, Prince Jam is a dub specialist. Round one.
Was a musical innovation which transformed the music of Jamaica whilst inspiring every future drum and bass DJ in England and in more recent times every dubstep DJ. Dub music or Jamaican bass and drum evolved out of the recording studios of Western Kingston in the early 70s, and by the late 70s and early 80s its input worldwide was truly phenomenal. One of the most famous innovators of dub music was, of course, King Tubby. And without doubt, his most famous protege was Scientist, who is our very special guest tonight. I have waited a long, long time for this moment. From the very first time I met him as a young lad in Jamaica, well, a young man in Jamaica many, many years ago, and then the impact that his dubs had on music in this country was something to behold. Scientist, welcome back to London.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It really is a pleasure. We just played the first track from the Showdown, which was, I guess, the album that started it all. The big showdown at King Tubby's, you versus Prince Jammy. And, I mean, it's head top. Mm-hmm. Just one example. Fabio, the legendary drummer bass DJ, said that it was those early dubs which inspired him, and I know many, many, many drummer bass DJs. There you are in Kingston, Jamaica, and we'll get to your history in a minute, but did you have any idea the impact that you were having in England at the time?
I had no idea. The first time I started was to get a clue is when I met you, David Rodiger. You started was to highlight me or inform me of the impact that I had here. Didn't have such a clue.
Well, we're going to talk about your the dubs and your life in this. We just heard one of the tracks, Beam Down, coming up. We got so many big tunes to play and not enough time to play them in, so let's move along. Sorry, I'm getting slightly confused. The one I'm about to play is Beam Down, which, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, this is your best dub ever. That's the head, chump. Beam him down. We beamed him down.
It's so great that somebody else all across that side of the world appreciate this. This means a lot to me, because in the early days when I was doing this, everybody was saying, "Sankas, what kind of a weird sound is that? Oh, God, we make that sound like madness." And see, about 3,000, 4,000 miles across the sea, somebody else appreciated it. Thank you very much.
Thousands of us appreciated it.
Thank you.
And the internet, of course, has dramatically changed the way in which we access information. But 30 years ago, there was no internet.
No.
Jamaica, as you said, 4,000 miles away. There you were inside King Tubby's mixing dubs of producers. What made you want to become a recording engineer?
I don't want to sound like a recurring decimal, but I was into electronics, building amplifiers, learned how to build amplifiers. And I would build an amplifier. And
how old were you when you were doing this?
16. Repairing television at 16, building amplifiers. And I would notice after I build an amplifier, I would want to test it. You know, after you use the instrument to test it, you want to hear what the amplifier sounds like playing music. And I picked up this record from King Tubby's, Roots Up Dub. Start to play the album. And then when Santa Davis started playing those flying cymbals, right? All of a sudden, my perfectly plain amplifier that was playing rock and roll started crappy. What the hell is this going on? I took the record and threw it away. And then I said, but damn, that record kind of has some cool stuff on it. Digged it up back out of the trash. Played it on a different system. And damn, what's wrong with this record? This record, something wrong with it. And I met other technicians like Denton, who was my senior. I asked them, why every time I play this record, you know, the amplifier started to be like, I said, no, that's a good record. If you really want to know when your amplifier is working good, you play a King Tubby's record. And if it holds up all night, you don't have to worry when you send it out. So I played a record again, and then when I build an amplifier, that would become my favorite test album, because I know if I play that all night, when I ship the amplifier to a customer, it's not going to fail.
Let's clarify this now. You're building customized amplifiers for sound systems or for home play, or how is it?
I was learning, okay. And I had a few clients that I would build amplifier. I was nowhere or had the experience I had now, but that's what I was doing.
So the King Tubby Roots of Dub album with him and the Crown on the front, that was your test album.
That in Jamaica, any technician who built an amplifier, you know, that was their test album.
It's Kiss. My very special guest is scientist, the dub chemist, the dub master, and let's get back to the music. The dubs that made Scientist a household name. Almost sacrilege to interrupt the music, but I've got to, because there's so many things that people want to know about you, and me too as well. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Scientist. okay, you're 16, you're building amplifiers, you're testing them out, and you have a number of customers. Let's go back before that. Where were you born? Where were you reared?
I was born in Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica. I grew up in a Harbor View, considered a middle-class neighborhood.
And what? When did it become apparent to you that you had a fascination for, obviously, for music and electronics? When did it become apparent?
Well, my father was a television repairman. And as I was mentioning before, when I was playing King Tubby's dub, my normally working amplifier would start to crap out. And I had a friend that was living in the neighborhood, was doing a welding job. You see those grill that on Tubby's yard, house? A friend of mine by the name of Francis was doing the welding job. So he said, I think it would be a good idea for you to meet Tubby's. I'm going around here tomorrow. Let's go.
So how old were you then? 16.
Yeah. So I went around there. Met Tubby's. He was nothing like the type of guy that I was thinking of. I was thinking I was going to meet a pot smoking buddy. I think I could, you know, dreadlocks, all that. When I met Tubby's, he was like a conservative.
Very. I know.
Yes.
In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, he couldn't stand anyone smoking in the studio, could he? When he was there. I mean, people did, but it would blow it away as soon as they knew he was coming.
There's a flip side to that.
What, are you telling me that he smoked weed on the quiet?
Well, no, Cox is gone. We can say that.
Continue. So you go to King Tubby's yard the next day. And what happened?
Yeah, I went up there and started was to pick his brain. Prior to that, I wanted was to build a console. So I wanted was to go to a studio to see if what I had in my head theoretically was really happening. So I went to King Tubby's studio, took the opportunity, went to King Tubby's studio, and when I see him at the studio, exactly what I was thinking into my head was what a console was. So, you know, I started talking to King Tubby's about all these ideas about moving faders and pretty much everything you see happening here now in the electronic age. And he said, son, you're smoking too much weed, man. I think you should leave that stuff alone. consoled with moving fader. And then, you know, if you go back and read Reggae International by Roger Stephens, it talked about all of that from in 1970. 20, 30 years later, exactly what I'm talking about with the digital age moving fader, it manifested.
The voice of scientist, the dubs of scientist on KISS.
I'd rather do before and clean and humble than to be rich and mansions. And the poor man cries around me.
So far, you've been hearing tracks from two albums, both created and mixed. Well, created, because there's a process, isn't there? the musicians have to play the music. Somebody has to record that session, and then somebody has to mix that session, and that's the responsibility of the recording engineer. And it was really the innovation of dub music which brought engineers to the foreground in a way perhaps that they'd never been before. They were the backroom boys, the whiz kids that recorded everything, the great engineers, in all forms of music. But this was the first time, apart from King Tubby, that an engineer was given such prominence. And as I said, there are two albums that we've been showcasing at the moment. Big Showdown at King Tubby's, and that was Scientist versus Prince Jammy. Now, Jammy was also an engineer there at the time.
Yeah, but Jammy's never mixed one track on this album. It's part of the problem that I've been having with this record company, Greensleeves.
I see. And that was the producer of that, was Henry John Jalouse, right?
Henry John Jalouse was doing that, but I kind of understand what he was trying to do, but not on that record. He didn't mix one track. Because here's where the evidence is. After you finish mixing a 45, you'd go and do the dub mix.
Right.
And Jammy's was never there in a Junja session. Junja couldn't stand Jammy's. That's why you don't see any record engineered by Jammy's, because they were two opposite political side.
Oh, I see the politics thing in Jamaica.
Politics, Junja was from the PNP. And Jammy's was from the Labour Party, and Junja always felt like Jammy's be holding back because he's also a producer.
The politics of Jamaica.
Yeah.
So which in itself is a nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, you've just clarified the situation there. Big Showdown at King Tubby's. The next album is most definitely credited to you, obviously. It says in the title, Scientist Meets the Space Invaders. And that's the...
Yeah.
So, what was the... The producer of this was, in terms of the rhythm section, was Mikey, arranged by Linville Thompson and Mikey Scott. So, did they come to you and say, we want to create a dub album with you? Is that what happened?
No, because as you know, in Jamaica recording, most of these were B-sides for the 45s.
Okay.
And at that time when I was making the 45, they were a producer because all of this was new. Mm. And I was a kid, they thought it was strange.
How old were you then?
About 16, 17. This happened within my first couple of years of engineering.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first record I mixed with Barrington Levy went number one, and I have not fixed the TV since that time.
That was Collieweed.
Yeah. That record went number one. That was pretty much one of the first records. And
you mixed the A side and the B side?
The A side and the B side. So what started was to happen, these producers started combining all these B sides. And they would make some of these albums.
Let's play some more music.
We'll be right back.
certainly carry me down memory lane.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, reggae fans, my very special guest tonight, I caught up with him earlier this week because he landed here, of course, to work at the Red Bull Music Academy. And we're in conversation here about some of the dubs that made him so famous within the reggae world. And there are four albums that we'd be homing in on and have, and we'll continue to do so. When you, trying to get the essence of, when you were presented with a track, okay, at Tubbs it was four track?
Yeah, it was a four track.
How would you approach the business of creating, I mean, everything we're playing is being mixed by you. You've taken vocals, you've taken instruments that are being played in a traditional way and you've turned them inside out. What was the process for you to arrive at that? How did you decide what you were going to do with this particular track? Was the rehearsal? Did you work it? Did you go back? Did you try it?
No, it was all spontaneous. Because back in those times, a producer would book the studio for like 1 hour, 2 hours. And, you know, back in those times, you know, John, those guys, they weren't rich guys. They didn't have a lot of money. Studio time was $30 an hour. But when somebody bring a record to mix at King Tubby's, they want the voice, they want to put on harmonies, and they want several mixes. So it was all spontaneous. Has no time to rehearse, anything like that. You have to do it right. You're on the fly.
Okay, so we're about to hear Dematerialize. I think it's Dematerialize. Yeah, it's Dematerialize. Again, one of my favorite dubs of yours. And I mean, you got all this going on in here, in this track. This was literally, as it rolled, you were working with it and creating it.
Yes, right on the fly. Well, you know, all of it is one take. I don't remember stop, go back and do something. It was right on the fly. The producers would want to kill you if you, not literally kill you, but they would get upset if you had was to go back because they could only afford like an hour or two of the mouse. So, you know, a record is only like 3 minutes long. So if you divide the 3 minutes into 60 minutes, that's about how much record you should be able to mix in 1 hour, and they expected that.
Listen to Dematerialize by Scientist, our special guest tonight on KISS, a dub extravaganza. Controls Dematerialize. He has materialized here in London. He's now living in America. We'll talk about that later on. So there you are at King Tubby's. You're talking to Tubbs about the board and how to make it work. How did it go from an initial meeting with the dub innovator, really, to actually getting a job there? How did that kick in?
King Tubby's became a place where if I needed to buy power transformer or output transformers for my amplifiers or hard to find parts, I'd go see Tubby's. I need this transformer to have a primary of 1K and I have a secondary of 8 ohms. And he would wind them for me for these amplifiers. So I start going there regular. One day he had was to step out and he was expecting people after being going there several times. So he said, would you mind waiting here for me? Because I have to go and take care of something important. And the day after, he gave me the keys to the place. put me in full control. Then he hardly used to come to the studio after that. I remember seeing people like Carlton Patterson and several other people begging Tubbies, please mix for me. I don't want to mix. So,
He did go for a period of not doing. I remember that.
Yeah, he didn't do anything after that. So, the last record King Tubbies mixed, rather, was Mikey Dread. Dread at the Control.
Yeah.
With Carlton Patterson.
Yeah.
So one day, Junja came there with Barrington Levy and was trying to get the recording done. So I keep saying to Tubbies, I can't do it. No, they don't want you to do it.
What were you doing? Because you were doing other jobs in the studio.
I wasn't in the studio at the time.
Working next door, yeah.
Working in the next room.
I remember, that's where I first saw you.
Yeah, repairing televisions and all of that. So they were waiting on Jammies to come to the studio. And as usual, you know, he wasn't really a very reliable source. And Junja keep asking Tubbies, Barrington Levy have to go away. Let's do this. I say, no, you only bet us to make scientists go do it. So he was very nervous, very reluctant, because I never did it before. I've just been around the studio watching Tubbies, but you know, being an electronic engineer, you know, it becomes like second nature after a while. So I went in the studio, did the vocals, mixed the song. Song went number one, and if I'm right here, everything else is history.
Scientist, I guess. Jamaican music then was very different to what it is now. It was all about the musicians gathering together and playing and jamming, the Roots Radix band, the Aggravators and so on, all the great musicians that we know and love. And then, of course, at the various studios where those sessions, as we all know, didn't take place at Tubby's, because Tubby's was voicing and mixing. It would be at Harry J, at Channel One, at Joe Gibbs, wherever. And then it would be mixed down to a four-track, or transferred to a four-track and taken down to Tubbs, and voicing and dubbing would go on. Now, Tubbies was famous, of course, for his hometown hi-fi, which the police terrorized him with. And in the end, he said he wouldn't play it anymore. As a young lad growing up in Kingston, did you ever have the opportunity to actually hear King Tubby's hometown hi-fi scientist?
Yes.
What was it like, the experience?
It confirmed a lot of things that I had in my thoughts as a young engineer. And I want nobody to make no mistake about this. Without reggae, King Tubbies and myself, you wouldn't have the high fidelity that you have in music. Anybody who go back in time and check out King Tubbies Hi-Fi, you know, it was like 20 double 18s with high and mid. That is where pretty much was the birth of crossover, but you know, a lot of people don't know that. We'd have one amplifier playing bass and one amplifier playing the treble, and that is where that whole crossover idea started.
When the sound played out, was it iRoy as the DJ when you saw it? Was it U-Roy?
U-Roy was the DJ at the time.
Because there is, listeners, in case you're anxious to hear that, there is one CD which is transferred from cassette, which is in circulation still, which is a recording of U-Roy playing King Tubby's Hometown Hi-Fi. And it's been recorded from the audience in the dance. It really is a monumental musical experience. I mean, you can just hear the whole weight of the sound system and the power. Scientist Sunday on Kiss, some of the big dubs. Let's go now. I mean, as I say, the four key albums, as far as I was concerned. Scientist rids the world of the curse of the vampire.
we had a show with Radix a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
At the dub club where you spinned.
In America?
In America, in LA, where I last saw you.
Oh, yeah. How did it go?
It well went received. It well, very, very well received. A lot, we did the album, this album live on
really?
Stage.
So yeah. The Roots Radix band and you got back together again at the Dub Club in LA.
Yeah, I brought them to
the When club. Are you bringing that to Europe?
Well, that's what is the next thing. I want to rid Europe of the curse of the evil politicians.
Hopeton Brown, a.k.a. Scientist. Did you give yourself the name Scientist, by the way?
No, King Tubby said, oh, you must be a scientist. Consoles and moving fader. Kid, I think you're smoking too much of that green stuff.
I mean, I was, and many thousands of people are big fans of Tubby. Very a quiet, reserved man. Your experience of working with him on a daily basis, what was it like?
You know, King Tubby is like a Wall Street guy, very conservative, very organized, very, very, very neat as he came there.
Very particular.
Very particular. It was a very, very good learning experience. If I had moved to the U.S. when my mother wanted me was to come to the U.S. and live, I have no way in the world been able to get that experience working with Tubby's. As I say, very organized, know what he's doing, and one of the best national treasure of Jamaica. Sadly, because Jamaica and the violent situation, he's not here with us. I'm quite sure you'd be doing a similar show from Tubby's with David Radic.
Absolutely. And obviously, your reputation was growing, and as you said earlier on, you weren't aware of the excitement that you were generating here with the dubs that you created, because Tubby had set the ball rolling with Errol Thompson and Lee Perry and other engineers. Of course, Tubby wasn't alone, but he was really the leader of the pack, wasn't he? He was at the vanguard in terms of dub, and then
undoubtedly, King Tubby's, Osborne Ruddock, created are the innovator of dub. King Tubby's built the Model T car of dub. I came later and I put the different computer apparatus, put on the spoilers, the big tires, but undoubtedly King Tub is, yes.
What a lovely analogy.
Yeah.
So, I guess, as is natural, you wanted to spread your wings. You were working at Tubbies, you created this unique sound, and fanatics like myself could identify a scientist mix, particularly the more crazy, wacky ones that you've done. You did some really wild mixes. I played Beam Down earlier on, and Dematerialize, a couple of my favorites. Also, Round... the round one in the Big Showdown, one of my favorite dubs of yours as well. And then you decided to pull up stumps and move to another studio. How was, what brought that on? You just wanted to venture out? Channel One, of course.
Part of it was venturing, but I have cousins living here in London since 1940.
1940?
Yeah, I have so much cousins that born here, grow here, that is British national. They start calling me and telling me, hey, Hopton, you seen this record? You seen this record? What record? Because those records were never released in Jamaica.
In Jamaica, that's right. I discovered that one. Sorry to interrupt you, but I first discovered that when I did a clash with Barry G on 1983 on JBC Radio 1. And I was playing songs that were recorded in Jamaica. And Barry G was like, these songs have never been released in Jamaica.
It's true.
They were only for export.
For true, that's true. And then I got tired of the piracy. You know, they keep sending me from London left and right all these different albums that been coming out. So I got fed up of it. And I wanted, you know, on top of that, what kind of bolstered it, I wanted was to gain some more experience in live recording. I did some live recording at Studio One with Coxon.
Yeah, I heard that. What was that like? I heard about that, sir. Because...
Yes, like that Willie Williams, Sugar Mine, that Michigan and Smiley, that's all my work.
Well, you were the engineer on Rubber Dub Style, Vanity, that period?
Yeah, well, if you notice, the sound from Studio One started was to change.
It did, yeah.
Coxon at the time was a bit upset because he thought King Tubby sent me there to spy on him because I had my own technique of recording. And it was a culture back in that time that you recorded out EQ. And, you know, we couldn't, I and Coxon couldn't see eye to eye on that because recording flat doesn't sound good. It doesn't produce the type of sound that you're hearing now.
Yeah.
Later on, he came around when musicians like Baga Walker and Pablo Black said, no, no, Mr. Dad, actually recording with EQ better. And so, you know, Coxon, I left there, go to a more, you know, used studio like Channel One for recording to gain experience in recording a live band.
Right. Well, let's hear one of your tracks from the album, which I believe was recorded at Channel One.
That I remember playing that track with Dennis Brown.
Channel One.
Yeah.
Thank you.
haven't got long left. An hour goes quickly when you're enjoying yourself. My very special guest tonight, the scientist, the dub chemist. From the studios of Western Kingston, 18 Drum of the Avenue, Kingston 11, the legendary King Tubby. His original recordings there, and then over to Channel 1. We're playing stuff from Channel 1 now. And we're about to play some more from that. But in 1980, you also worked, I believe, at Tuff Gong.
Yes.
What was that like?
One of my most relaxed moments in engineering, because, you know, it was in the uptown part of Kingston. You didn't really have to worry about, you know, the pressure of the rude boys. Even though they're in, you know, coming from Harborview, no one personally ever brought any violence to me. But there was always that element around. You know, you watching or seeing somebody get shot right next to you. After I started working at Tuff Gong, that was more relaxing because, you know, it was in a different type of...
Indeed, because Channel 1 was on Maxfield Avenue, and that Maxfield part, that's pretty... That's Kingston 12, that's pretty tough too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a rough part of Kingston. The thing about Kingston, though, you know, you have to know to move, because you find you, a white guy from London, can go there and nobody mess with you.
I think sometimes that was more by surprise than luck there. Remember when I first went to Western Kingston, some kids started, white man! I've never seen a white man. Look at his hair! I'm straight here!
I know, and all of a sudden you find you have this crowd around you.
Yeah, exactly, I remember
but
it well.
You have not been harmed by any of
them. No, indeed not.
If you was to went down there as a big, bossy, show-off guy from London, then you see the different side of the coin.
That's very true, and I'll never forget the Jamaica grapevine. I remember walking down Olympic, taxi, and the taxi driver said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Down the Olympic Way to Tubby's." He said, no. "No, he stopped the car." He said, "No, you have to come over to here, you know." I said, "Why?" He said, "No, I drive in Jamaica." And he wouldn't drive down past Olympic Way police station down. I walked.
Yes, true.
And by the time I got to around that area, I saw Jammies and Tubby's, and they said, "Oh, yeah, we knew you were in the area because we got calls and people were, yeah, you know, there's this white guy walking down Olympic Way." Yeah, that's Rodigan.
leave him alone. Don't you mess with him.
It's true. I don't forget that. Scientist.
It's true.
We were just talking off air there about how the music has changed, and scientist, you were saying that you don't have that burning desire to return to the rock in the way that you would have done years ago, and I understand that feeling, because the music has changed so much. I mean, obviously there's this thing called progress and things must move on, but what we've lost, I think, to a large extent is that whole idea of musicians jamming together in studios and working together, and that whole kind of, a lot of it now is laptop and computers and so on, and it's the march of time, but nevertheless. You then decided to go to Washington.
Yes, I...
85?
I wanted us to start mixing politics bands, marching bands. Just joking.
What was the call of the wild? Your mother, you said earlier on, your mother was living in America, so it was natural to go to...
Yeah, I have a huge American family that hardly anybody know about. And I was the last family member to go to America. My mother wanted me was to come to America when I was years old, the day when I was supposed to go to the airport. I ran away.
Oh, and stayed in Harbor View.
Yeah. Luckily, because, you know, I wouldn't be the person here that you're talking to. I could nowhere have gained that knowledge that I gained in Jamaica.
Let's hear another track from the Pac-Man. I saw you in London a few years ago at a festival, and I know you came back a year ago as well, but what's the reason for your visit this time? Scientist, live.
George from Block Weekend, that was my first experience to a dubstep audience. George from Block Weekend recommended that I should hook up with DJ Pinch and do an album. And we did this album named Scientist Launches Dubstep in Outer Space. And so that's why I'm here, to support that album. It's coming out.
It's not out yet.
It's going to be officially out on the Tektronix label.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mixed a dubstep album.
Now, what do you think of dubstep? Because that has to be, that was obviously one of my key questions. Because it's been a musical revolution, really.
I personally endorse it. I personally like dubstep. Now that we more in a computer age, you know, this type of music fits in. Like all the stuff that you hear going on in these albums, a lot of people in Jamaica thought it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was weird sound. What kind of weird sound is it? But now we approach this computer age. This generation endorses it as the same thing with dubstep.
Indeed. And dubstep is a phenomena. And all the young dubstep DJs listening right now will no doubt be hanging on your every word. But Jamaica's stopped making dub. I mean, I can't remember the last... I mean, Albaros has made a dub album, and he's not even Jamaican, with all due respect to him.
Part of the problem with Jamaica, and I hope the politicians notice this, they're not really preserving the history of Jamaica. King Tubby's console should never end up in Seattle, Washington. Mm-hmm. The politicians should have stepped in, and they should have preserved it. They should have done that. And the reason why dub not coming from Jamaica anymore, King Tub is viciously got murdered. I am not down there to show anybody even the basics of even setting up a console to do it.
To get that sound.
Yeah, and as a result, a lot of the younger generations, they don't want me or King Tubby around because, you know, it shows their weakness. That's the primary reason I find dub nowadays is coming from everywhere but Jamaica.
Yeah, well, you just summed it up in one second. All right, we've got now, this is one of my favorite dubs of yours, also because I love the original, Firehouse Rock, The Mummy's Shroud from the album Scientists Rinse the World of the Evil Curse of the Vampires.
This is the curse of the mummy. We'll be right back.
to say thank you to the Red Bull Music Academy, because they played a major role in bringing you over here. Obviously for the Academy as well.
Yes, indeed. They did. I would like to thank personally Red Bull Academy, DJ Pinch, and again, George from Block Weekend. They played a significant role why I'm here today. Speaking with you, you've been waiting for over 20 years for this interview.
It's true. It's true.
It never happened before the
that
time.
That skinny youth I saw working at Tubbs. And I remember asking, I said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm working here, but one day I'm going to be in there. And I'll never forget that.
Are you busy?
Yeah, I'll never forget that. And I said, what's your name? He said, they call me Scientist.
Yeah. Well, I must say this. Thank you a lot, David Radigan, for preserving the history. There's not a lot of people like you in the world that preserving this. You come from very, very, very far across the water. You seem to know more about Jamaican music than a lot of Jamaicans. And you keep playing records that don't even exist in Jamaica. I must say thank you and the radio station a lot. KISS FM.
Thank you, Scientist. It's been a real pleasure. Welcome back to London. Enjoy your time. And until the next time, which is, I hope, going to be sooner than 20 years.
I want to see you at the Dub Club again. Those people, you know, it's funny. It's funny. You came to the Dub Club in Los Angeles, and the crowd there is 21 and up. And don't you dare play any new school music. They want it. I get a lot of thing from people. Who, that guy, David Radigan, wow, we hear he played that stuff. Not even talking about the Dub Club player. Where did he get those records? I said, man, you need to go to England. They have a huge collection there. thank you.
Enjoy your stay in London. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you, Sam. We'll be right back.
or nice.
I'm gonna give you what you want. That's what I'm talking about.
Father Kissmas is one fat man you can believe in.
Yeah.
He's taking your Kissmas wishes at TotalKiss.com now.
So give me some love online.
Tell him the present you want this Christmas, and he'll try and sort you out.